This is Bootstrap Web, episode 64. This is the podcast for you, the founder who learns by doing as you bootstrap your business online. And today, we've got Robert Williams on the show with us. Robert runs letsworkshop.com and emailsthatwin.com. So we'll get into those and whatever else the conversation brings our way. Robert, thanks very much for joining us.
Hey, thanks. Thank you guys for having me on.
Yeah, Robert, you know, great to have you here. I've been following your stuff for a while, and actually a couple of weeks ago, you and I joined another mastermind group together. So that's been awesome to kind of, you know, hear what you've been up to in the last few weeks. And I've always just been really impressed with what you did with Let's Workshop. I think it's a brilliant concept. It's so simple and it provides so much value. So we're going to kind of get the story behind that. And then just recently, a couple of weeks ago, you launched a new book, Emails That Win. So we'll definitely hear all about that as well. But you know, like, why don't we start off, you know, talking about Let's Workshop. What is that for those who aren't familiar with it?
So real quick, it's basically a service where I send out the top 8 or 9 leads every day for freelance web designers and web developers. So when I say leads, I mean like basically people online looking for freelancers, whether it's a job board like Authentic Jobs or, you know, any of the other job boards or Hacker News or wherever they seem to be. I send out basically a link to that.
So you're not just going to the job boards. You're actually going to places like Hacker News and like other sources of leads too.
Yeah, like Twitter and, you know, Reddit, stuff like that, where anywhere I can kind of find people looking for a problem they need solved and looking to hire a freelancer. And I try to include like email and a, you know, a Twitter address, something where freelancers who get the leads can kind of do a little bit of background like recon on who they're emailing.
That's cool. I actually didn't know that about the service. I thought it was kind of just straight job board listings, but it's actually a whole bunch of stuff, which makes it even more valuable. I can see that now. Very cool. So how did, when did you actually launch Let's Workshop?
It was November 2013. And I actually launched a launch day. I had one person sign up. So I sent them a list of leads just for them. It was actually Kurt Elster.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I know Kurt. Very cool.
Yeah, and he wrote me back like, holy shit, this is freaking awesome.
It's great.
Like, I just spent 5 hours writing email for you.
Yeah, and before like getting into, you know, questions about the details or these, like how you find them, just generally speaking, I love how absolutely dead on the supply demand you are. Like, this is exactly what people want above all other things. Proposal software, project management application, like all these things, the thing that people want most and need most are just leads and a way to find them consistently. Because anyone can go on Reddit and spend a few hours and on Hacker News and find a few of these and email and think, sure, feel good about themselves and say, okay, I did that, but they're not going to do that every day. It's nearly impossible to keep that up. So I just love how perfectly this service nails exactly what people are looking for. How did you identify that as, you know, a really burning need?
Sure. So thanks. I appreciate that. I think you're right on with what you're saying is like they want proposal software or they want even lead generation, but it's not because they want the leads or the proposals. They want to land the client, which is the result of the service. And when it comes to like how I came up with it, what I basically did was research in places like Hacker News and Reddit and Twitter and stuff like that, where people were kind of complaining about different problems, when like finding clients and running out of work and dry spells. That's like a very common theme amongst freelancers. And then I combined that with personal experience, which was I saw Hacker on Hacker News and developers would constantly kind of throw around the same advice, which is like, work can only come in through referrals, and it can only feast or famine is just part of freelancing. And I've personally knew that wasn't the case because I started a consultancy from scratch, just using like the leads I found online and emailing them. So what I basically, and I also took a course, a product building course, called 30 by 500, with Amy Hoyt, that basically taught me how to turn those two things, the people, the research of what people were saying and my personal experience, and turn that into something I could sell. And it's funny you mentioned like the job boards and proposal software. That stuff to me felt like it was trying to get me to use the software, and it was trying to get me to use the job board. It was trying to get me to log in and stuff, as opposed to trying to get me to find a client or to find work. And so I tried to zero in on that aspect of it, as opposed to, you know, trying to get people to use my awesome app that, you know, has these cool features or whatever.
Yeah, so like really focusing on the end result and the core challenge, pain point, but also the core like goal or destination that the person really...
Totally. And even like not getting in between the client and the freelancer in any way. So I send, instead of sending... It kind of shaped my solution in a way, because instead of sending them to my job board or taking a percentage of whatever the project is, I just give the emails out, and it's on the freelancer then to kind of contact them and you know, land the client.
Yeah, you know, so I'm kind of wondering, an outsider looking in, looking at this business or looking at your site, it's so simple and the concept is so straightforward, and it seems like it's the kind of idea that just like that overnight just kind of comes to you. But I'm sure we all know that it was not like that at all. There were probably many iterations, and I know, you know, there's a heavy like research process, you know, coming from like the 30 by 500 process and all that. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like what did the research process look like? But really, as you got closer to the idea of what became Let's Workshop, like what did the different like iterations kind of look like, and how did you go through that process?
Like iterations as far as like the actual service, like what came out of it, or?
Yeah, I mean, or like how, what was the idea for Let's Workshop pretty apparent from you early on, or did it take you a lot of effort to like get to that point?
So it came from me wanting that. And so like me, I when I was freelancing, I knew that if I emailed clients, potential clients, I would make more money than if I didn't. And so then at a certain point, it just became a daily hassle to have to find the list of clients that I needed to email. And I tried like hiring a VA. I tried getting my girlfriend to do it. I tried like, you know, I tried outsourcing it a bit, but at the end of the day, I wanted basically to clone myself to focus just on this one task that I had to do. Because as a freelancer, as a web designer, I knew what the great clients looked like better than anybody else, especially for me.
So you can look at the hundreds of potential freelance gigs that are out there on job boards and on Twitter and whatnot, and you just knew based on the things that they're saying and how they present themselves, all right, these few are the good ones and the rest will throw out.
Totally. And the other thing too is when you talk about like the research, people weren't asking for a newsletter like this or like a my service. They were asking for other things. Like I had to kind of read between the lines, like they would say, what's the best job board out there? Or like, you know, what's the best app for finding work, or, you know, whatever. They phrased it in ways where I had to kind of extract what they meant and what they actually needed, as opposed to what they said they were wanting.
That can be tricky.
Yeah. And so like, for me, the answer to like, what's the best job board? The answer to that, there is no answer. The best job board is every job board, you know, like the opportunities are going to be spread out everywhere. So, I think not falling into like the holes that you try to get placed into, even with people who are asking and like have these pains.
And it's not even the customer's fault really for not being able to articulate it. Right. I mean, from an objective point of view, the business proposition here is I would like to just pay for leads. I don't want to do work for leads. I just want to pay for them. I will give you money if you give me leads, and then it'll be my problem to turn that into, you know, a lot more money than what I paid you for them. And if I can do that every day, then you have solved my lead generation problem. Totally. And if you could just put money toward it and get out a return, then that works. That's a business.
Totally.
And it sounds like you kind of solved the other half of that equation as well with the new book, Emails That Win. We'll get to that in a minute, but which kind of, I guess the goal there is to help them be more successful when they are emailing those leads and just be more successful overall.
Yeah, totally. The thing is, I'm not like the first lead gen service, or like I'm not going to be the last. So making it not about so much about the leads that I send, as opposed to making it more about the freelancers winning work and being better at winning work, is more important. Because then they're more likely to succeed with my thing as opposed to any other lead gen service.
Yeah. So, it also sounds like you really made the conscious decision to build this product for people like yourself. I mean, you were a web designer. I mean, you are a web designer, but, how did you come to that decision to like kind of serve your people rather than, I don't know, other types of clients?
I don't know.
Was it like a solve your own itch thing?
Yeah, like what we talked about a little bit was I had that pain. I knew it very well. I felt like I could solve it better than somebody else, just because I had been freelancing for 2 or 3 years and I was tired of finding clients by myself. I wish I could outsource it. So yeah, I mean,
I guess it was like a problem and a customer base that's just so close to you is like the first kind of thing, the most logical next step is to look to your own people.
Yeah. And I had been, you know, as a web designer, as a freelancer, we do a lot of like content marketing, newsletters, you know, writing emails and stuff like that. And so I had, just by talking about design and about development, I had a list of like 200, 300 people who, I wrote to, which also kind of inspired me to make something for that group. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
cool.
It did come from within like my pains and stuff, but I definitely, if I didn't have 300 people listening to me or who were freelance web designers and developers, I don't know if I would have been able to get it started. So I think having that probably helped also.
Yeah, very cool. And you know, the other thing that really pops out about this whole product is that it's really like a productized service. And it sounds like, at least for a while, you were the one like manually, you know, handpicking these leads and setting up the newsletter every day. And I mean, beyond that, it's not all that complex, right? You're just using like, are you using like MailChimp or something for that?
Yeah, Campaign Monitor.
Campaign Monitor. So, I mean, just this whole concept of a productized service, were you looking for that type of solution, or were you ever hesitant to build this, like knowing that how heavily it relies on like manual work? Did that ever kind of,
Well, so to be honest, I was like, I wanted to buy this thing for like a day, and then I was like, I'm going to make it. And then I thought, okay, and if I'm going to be able to do this, I need to make, I think it was like 3,000 in the next 30 days or something with workshop, just with the service I'm creating. So I launched it like, I think on a Thursday, and I got a paying client the first day. A few days later, I had a few more, and then it kind of built up to where slowly on the 30th day, I had $3,000 in recurring revenue. So yeah, I mean, it definitely was a product where I saw I needed it. It kind of went really quickly in terms of like just getting something out there. The first version was, it was a really crappy landing page, and it didn't explain anything about what I was doing or anything, but I just had, I knew I could iterate on that stuff later. Getting people to sign up and pay for it was kind of my first step. And I think it helped me in terms of knowing that there are people out there that are going to be able to pay for it and want to pay for it. Before I started worrying too much about the exact solution or how to sell it or anything like that.
Yeah. So like the delivering of the service, sourcing the leads, making sure the email gets sent out every day. That's just a process that you are willing to just take on day in, day out in the beginning, knowing right. that like if this thing reaches, you know, 3,000 in revenue, then that's kind of a good problem to have. And then we can figure out how to streamline it later.
Yeah, exactly.
Robert, can I ask you how long you've been in the entrepreneurial game? And, you know, and not to couch that without like giving context to it, like what I'm writing down from what we're talking about is it's like a case study in doing things the right way, right? And I usually that doesn't happen from someone doing something like this for the first time, right? So here's what I have. So domain expertise, right? So you're scratching your own itch. So you're reading between the lines to identify the actual end result instead of the in-between. Selling to an existing audience so that you have built-in feedback and customers. Starting manually and not worrying about automation. You're adding value on top of existing software so you don't have to build anything. The time to paying customers is minimal, right? Like all these things are like the way you should do this. And is this your first kind of thing entirely on your own, or have you been doing this for a while?
This is my first like productized services. I freelanced for a couple of years before that, freelance web design. But this is my first kind of service where it's kind of been productized. But it wasn't like, I think that stuff that you're mentioning, I don't know if it was so deliberate as it might seem. It was just kind of starting from like the core part of like the first one you mentioned, which was like doing something for myself, where I wanted to buy it, kind of led me to the rest of those steps.
Yeah, I just think it's great for people to kind of hear about and see. People get distracted by these other things and what they have to build and what they have to prepare before they launch, and all these things they think they need to line up ahead of time before they can actually talk to real customers. And this is just a great example of, you know, a lot of those things being, you know, bad assumptions and hurdles that people put in their way when they really shouldn't be.
Yeah, yeah, and I think what another thing people kind of run into is like they might do research or they might do customer research, but it's feedback that's coming in a kind of controlled environment. So like you might ask them, hey, would you pay for this? Or hey, what's your biggest whatever problem with, you know, whatever pain? And I think doing research like that is always going to be it might hurt you more than it helps, because as opposed to looking at somebody who doesn't know what you're looking for or whatever, they're more likely to give you honest feedback and be, you know, honest because they don't know that you're there kind of lurking, which is what I did like in Hacker News and on forums, doing the research that way. It you're not kind of imposing onto them whatever your solution is, your idea is, and asking for feedback that way.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I really like about, from what I understand about the, you know, like the 30 by 500 sales safari approach, right, is to kind of watch your audience or your customer base talk about the problem amongst themselves, like in their own habitat or whatever, rather than doing the, I guess, rather than relying on customer interviews. And I too have never really put a lot of stock in that whole question of like, here's an idea. Would you pay for this? And,
yeah.
like when people ask that to me, or even when I've tried to ask that of potential customers for various products, I always felt like no matter what they tell me to that question, I can't really believe it, even if it's yes or no. It's just hard. It doesn't really mean a lot, but I guess, the thing about customer interviews that I do like is not necessarily to validate it completely, but to just really understand how is this thing going to fit into your daily workflow.
Yeah,
and
totally.
And like your big goals, like, and cause there are probably a lot of nuances in there that I don't know about. I mean, like, for example, I was listening to an interview with Patrick McKenzie this week, where he was talking about appointment reminder. And when he originally launched that, he launched it to, I think, like hair salons and customers like that. But then he later learned that the cost of hair salons missing an appointment, and he did interview them about, like, would you buy this? And they said, yes. The cost of them missing an appointment was not very high. Like, they were like, we don't care if people don't show up. But tradesmen, you know, carpenters and electricians and whatnot, if their clients don't show up, they lose a couple of hours a day, and that costs them real money. Right. And he didn't really learn that until, I think a couple of months or a year or two into the business, where he kind of learns those nuances of how this thing actually fits into the larger picture.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you, like, you end up asking somebody, will you pay for this thing, and they say yes, like, the real question is, okay, then pay me for it. Like,
right.
Like, if they back out at that point, then you kind of know, hey, maybe they won't pay for it since they're not paying me for it.
Yeah, and even that's, like, a little bit awkward, right? Like, give me your money right now.
Yeah, I don't know. The more you get awkward, the more success you have when it comes to asking for money and asking for
that's
stuff.
True.
I
out of that comfort zone.
Yeah, I was telling Brian today that we're in the process of thinking about changing our pricing for Cardhook. It looks like we're going to do it. And today I had the first conversation with someone to jump on board according to the new pricing. And I felt like I was back at the very beginning. You know, I wasn't exactly sure to have positioned, and then it came out so awkward. And he wasn't even sure if I was asking him for feedback on our pricing or if I was asking him to join for that amount. And it was very strange, but you have to do it and get better at it. But
yep.
It's the only way you get money. You got to ask.
So Robert, you launched Let's Workshop about a year and a half ago. What has happened since? Like, how has the service evolved? How did you grow it? And what does it kind of look like today, a year and a half later?
Yeah, pretend we're Andrew Warner on Mixergy and tell us the exact revenue figures per minute. No, obviously just share whatever you want. But yeah, how's it going?
The, like, yearly or the monthly revenues are in five figures. Is that like over 10,000?
Mm-hmm.
So I've been, like, extremely happy and even surprised at how quickly it's been able to grow. But I am – so in the year and a half since I started, there's been kind of two groups emerge as far as, like, my customer base. One of them has landed client after client and has provided me testimonials and – made, you know, six figures from the leads I've sent out in under a year or you know, whatever time they've been subscribed. And that's great and everything, but there's also a group who hasn't landed a single client. They don't hear back from any of the emails they send out, and they've just, like, really struggled with finding work through the service. And so what I ended up doing was I was basically, like, wondering why that was, and I emailed the people who were struggling, and I told them, hey, you know, you're not hearing back from emails. Why don't you BCC me on the emails you're sending out to the clients, and I can kind of give you feedback on what you might be doing wrong.
I remember when you were doing that. I think that's just such a brilliant idea to like BCC you and have, like, someone kind of, like, looking over your shoulder. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, totally. And so what I noticed was just, like, the amount of crappy emails and poor poorly written emails that were getting sent out was just like overwhelming. And I ended up repeating myself like nonstop on the feedback I gave them. It was just like the same core four or five issues that everybody was kind of struggling with, which was like sending extremely long or extremely short emails, not offering anything compelling in the email, making the email all about themselves as opposed to the person they're emailing. And so I basically ended up extracting like, you know, the emails I was sending them with advice and feedback on the emails they were sending, and kind of compiling all that stuff into one kind of manual or whatever for writing an email from scratch.
So that must be how the book emails that when, you know, kind of evolved, right? Or the beginning of it.
Yeah, totally. I didn't extract it until after I started seeing that there was results coming in. Like once they changed their emails to be closer to what I was suggesting they do, they started hearing back like more often than not. And one case in particular, I had a girl in workshop named Stephanie. She would send out like 50 or 60 emails a month and just not hear back constantly. And we worked together, and then she ended up sending an email out in comparison to the email she was sending before working with me. She would send stuff like, "Hey, I'm Stephanie. I'm a logo designer. I do branding. Let me know if there's a fit here." And what she ended up doing after we worked together was there was a client who came in who I guess had written a book, and she ended up buying the book, reading the book, and sending an email saying, "Hey, I read your book. I really love this part in your book." And she quoted it, and then, you know, talked about how her work was going to relate to that part of the book and help him with whatever logo he was making or whatever. And she heard back like 30 minutes later. And so it was kind of like a bunch of little events like this that kind of I started saying, you know, instead of me having to repeat this stuff all the time, I should just put it all in one like condensed manual that people can just read at their leisure, you know.
I think that's awesome. I mean, I'm curious. So in that process, when you first started reaching out to customers of Workshop to say, hey, you know, well, first of all, my first question there is like, how did you know who's being successful and who's not? Like, was it people kind of requesting a cancellation, or because you're not really tracking like what they do with the leads after you send them? So how did you distinguish those two groups?
Yeah, it was people who were asking for cancellations, and then the other group was people who were email me and was like, "Oh my God, never stop sending me leads. This is awesome. I just landed another client for $6,000 in a week or whatever."
And then
for 60,000.
From there, were you basically just looking to like reduce churn and just improve the service itself? And that was the reason for kind of starting this, this project?
Yeah, it was the churn. And the other thing too is, I don't think it's like people don't automatically know how to write emails. I don't think it's like something we're taught very much in school. It's not, and yet it's also it's like such a big part of our lives now, and such a big like determinant of how well we do in business. And it kind of goes like behind the scenes. It all kind of happens. We think it's like nobody sees our email, so they don't matter as much as maybe our website copy or whatever. I think a lot of times, especially for freelancers, it matters more because
it's so true.
You're emailing clients and you're telling them to go to your website, but if the email isn't good, they're not going to ever see your website. So
yeah, and the relationship is more important than the website anyway. If you trust someone and you get along with them and you hit it off and you see eye to eye, like the person could never look at your website and sign up as a client. It's not nearly as important as the actual connection, and that email is the first touch point.
Yeah, and it truly is amazing how many freelancers, and these are web workers, people who work on the web, who just write these emails that are just like mind-boggling when you read them. I mean, we, you know, we've all received like the cold email from the SEO, you know, agency who can increase your rankings by tomorrow. But even, you know, the really, really solid and even like reputable freelancers, designers, developers are still sending emails that are, like you said, just either like six paragraphs long or, you know, just like incoherent, poor grammar and all this stuff. It's
kind of crazy. Or they just list like a 20 yeah. bullet paragraph of like, I do PHP, I do Joomla, I do right. Rails.
And here it's just here are my most recent WordPress sites, and there's like 25 links, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough. It's one of these like curse of knowledge things where, you know, I recently hired a sales guy, and when I first hired him, I told him about Carthook, about the product, about what it does and all that. And at some point he was like, I don't want to know anymore. And I didn't understand. I was like, don't you need to know everything? And he said, actually, it's easier to sell when you don't know everything, because you just focus on the big stuff and the benefits, and the other stuff creates that you don't know creates questions, and that starts the sales process. So when you have a freelancer trying to convey what they have in their mind internally, it's like it's very hard to limit that to just a few sentences that relate to what the client is looking for in their situation, instead of just, but I want to tell them about all this other stuff yeah. that I do and have done. And yeah, you can forgive them. It's just that once you know, then it's no longer forgivable.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
So I mean, Robert, like what are some of the best tips or best practices or the most common mistakes that you're seeing with emails?
I think the biggest thing is, so it kind of ties back to what Jordan just said. Everybody, when you're writing an email to a client, it's like a blank slate, right? And you're kind of, it's intimidating for us. Like even if you're writing anything, just seeing a blank screen is going to like intimidate you into kind of creating like a big brain dump of everything you're thinking. And there's no real strategy behind that. Instead, I think you should throw out most of what you think you need to write just out the window completely. Like people think they have to exhibit expertise, or they have to make a connection, or they have to show all their skills, you know, past work, all this stuff they think that is going to help them. At the end of the day, those are not going to help you get a reply. What's going to help you get a reply is making the email easy to reply to, and starting from that perspective, where your goal is, okay, I need to write this email to get a reply, as opposed to, okay, I have to write this email to exhibit my expertise and tell them everything about myself, is probably the quickest thing you can do to just change the response rates you're getting. Yeah, were you going
to
say something?
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, it's the end goal is just to A, get them to open the email, and B, get them to reply. And it's totally. And if you go into it knowing that, rather than having the end goal be, I want to land this contract today after this email is done, that's just not going to happen. In order to get that contract, you have to get into a conversation first. And the way to get there is to get them to reply to your email. So optimize everything about your email just to get the reply.
Totally.
Right. It's very much a sales funnel. And if it's a relatively complex sale, it's not a $5 item at a deli. If it's going to take multiple steps, then the goal is just the next step. And if you focus on that and look at it that way, it's a lot easier. Anyway, it's really hard to get hired off of one email. It's not that hard to get a response or to get onto the phone or just to get to that next step in your process.
Are there any kind of how do you recommend like that very first line, the intro to an email? Like how do you just like what's the best practice there? That seems like a very important first impression kind of thing.
The thing I like to like the mindset I like to go into it with is like, when you're checking your email, the first thing you think is like, is this spam? And, you know, can I delete this? Can I get this out of my life immediately? And so that's the first thing I think anybody who's writing an email should mention, is like something personal, something that could not be sent to anybody else except for me. So like I mentioned earlier with Stephanie, she wrote a quote from a book that the person had written. But other ways to do that is like just even if it's like something specific to like you don't have to say I just saw your job post here and blah blah blah. Instead you can say something like, hey, I noticed you're looking for this. The benefit of that is, you know, whatever, and this is why you should do that, right? And always leading with, you know, dear Robert or hello Robert or you know, the actual first name as opposed to sir slash madam or whatever it is.
dear hiring manager.
Yeah, and that goes the same for like subject lines too. If you can make it clear that it's not spam because it's just so tuned in to like me and what I'm care about, then you're going to get the email's at least going to get opened and it's probably going to get replied to. Like if somebody emailed me today and was like, hey Robert, I heard you need help with finding leads. You know, that's going to be 10 times more likely for me to open and reply than somebody who says I'm a freelancer in their subject, you know?
Right.
I like flattery. That's my first line. If I were emailing you, I'd say, hey, Robert, heard you on Bootstrap Web and loved your interview. Now I'm going to ask you for what I want. I do the same thing. I love what you've done with xyz.com. I was wondering what you do for abandoned carts. You know, anything to stroke the ego and to show that you did a little bit of research on, hey, congrats on that, you know, community award for your X firm, and then to get into it. That's what I like as the first line.
Yeah, I guess the other thing to keep in mind is that when you're previewing in Gmail, I think the same is true on like iPhone and most email clients, you're going to see the subject plus a few words from the message.
Right.
You know, in that like lighter gray text or whatever. And that should also be like, that should help to increase the open rate, is something relevant there. You know?
Right. Because I think we're all pretty good nowadays at knowing that there's spam there, you know, that you can sniff out like an email that's been written for thousands of people pretty easily.
Yep. Cool. So, I mean, tell us about the book, like the launch of the book and how that went.
Sure.
It's been just a couple of weeks now, right?
Yeah, it's been a week and a half. I think I launched, I shared this with the mastermind, like 9,000 was my launch window or whatever. What was I going to say? I don't know. I forgot what I was going to say about the earlier thing. But the book has been going good. I'm still working on a few other things that like in the packages that's going to be released out soon to everybody else. There's a freelance like strategy sessions I'm putting together, which I've done like four or five. It's like eight or nine interviews with like Nick DiSabato, Kurt Elster, like these people who are kind of building their consultancy in really cool ways. And what I ended up doing was I took all these interviews and instead of grouping them by the person, like Nick, all of Nick DiSabato's in one file, I extracted the topics. So like if Kurt talks about productized consulting, And then Nick talked about productized consulting also. I grouped that stuff all together, so like it's going to be an add-on to the book where you can kind of go through it and listen to whatever you're specifically struggling with from all these top consultants.
That's really cool.
And that'll be coming out later this month.
So those are like pre-packaged audio interviews, but they're grouped together. Like, are you editing them together as like one?
Yeah,
like one string of like Kurt talking about this, and then Nick DiSabato on that same topic.
Yeah, totally. Like basically, like a roundtable discussion.
Nice.
And then the other thing too is there's a package that you can get a workshop subscription at kind of a reduced rate if you buy the book, and that's I think pretty cool because once you learn how to write the emails. Because the book is basically, it's chronologically ordered. So it's like how to start writing an email is at the beginning and how to close your emails at the end. Once you have that kind of in place and you read the book and you know how to send the emails, then it's just a matter of like a numbers game of like contacting people. So if you've gotten that package, you can kind of then just basically turn on a stream of, you know, constant revenue that's coming in as a freelancer.
Yeah, they feed into each other very nicely. If you start the workshop and then want to get better at emails, there's the book. And if you start off with the book and say, okay, now I'm ready for more volume, it can go the other way. It's
totally. Nice. And if you're building like another business, like a productized business or something else, where you're you need kind of a buffer of like time and but you still need that revenue to support you, like from freelancing or consulting. This is like, it's a way to cut down dramatically the amount of time it takes to not only find clients, but also to write them emails and to get them your foot in the door with a bunch of different people.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think it's fantastic the way that the two products work together, that they're solving two very related problems, you know. I think it's just awesome. So, what's up next for you, Robert? Like, how do you see this kind of progressing over the next year or two, and what are you going to be working on? Just kind of growing these things, or other kind of big ideas to add into the mix here, or what?
I definitely want to make the leads that are coming in, you know, higher quality, and keep building that up, so that if you join workshop, you know you're going to start landing work. I definitely need to improve, because the leads I'm finding right now are from all over the place, authentic jobs, like I mentioned earlier. And what I want to do is I want to invest in getting better leads coming in solely through workshop, finding out about workshop and coming in directly to the people on the list. And I'm actually interested in productized consulting a lot. So I'm looking at your course and stuff about how, you know, how can workshop help freelancers get started with productized consulting and offer packages that maybe deliver productized clients to them, like I'm doing with the leads currently, but maybe in a little bit more structured way, or with some more scoping and pricing added to the mix, so it's a little easier to get the conversation going about pricing and stuff.
Absolutely.
But that's kind of stuff that's in the works. I've been talking about it with current members and stuff like that.
Nice. Cool. Well, I think that's about all we had here on the doc. But Robert, this has been awesome. You know, I mean, I'm sure the audience is getting a lot from this. I know I learned a lot here for sure. So
I think it's awesome what you've done so far, and I think there's a lot of different places you can go with it and grow it and add value and raise prices based on how much value you're giving. I think there's an opportunity, you know, for a course type thing that helps people hold their hand even more. I just think if you're nailing the demand properly, if you're giving people what's really, really important to them, makes a big impact on their business, you have a lot of options. You can, totally. Yeah, you can expand, you can raise prices, you can work with different people, you can move over to productized. And just, I have to mention, I can't help but notice the copywriting on letsworkshop.com. Is that following a particular structure, something that you can guide listeners toward? Because I see it feels familiar in some ways, and it's also, I mean, it's real copywriting. Like, I just read all the headlines, and I got all the gist by just reading the headlines. So clearly you put work into the page. Can you talk to the copywriting in general on that page?
Yeah. So as a web designer, I pretty early got into copywriting, and I got into a lot of the basics, and like, I don't know if you've heard of like David Ogilvy, some of the older like advertising people. Right. The reason was I saw that like most of my time was spent working on copy and designing copy. And at the end of the day, I was seeing that the most important part of my design was what it actually said, not how it looked, not anything like that. And so one big, I took a couple courses. I took the 30 by 500 course that we talked about, which gives you kind of like the outline for how to write, where to start, what's in the middle, which is called a PDF format. So it's pain, dream, fix. Mm-hmm. So if you look at my sales pages, you'll see that I start off with a pain, then I go into a dream, the dream world, mm-hmm. And then my fix eventually, whatever my product is. And then the other thing I did early on also was I took a course by Joanna Weeb from Copy Hackers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
She has a copywriting course that I took also. And I think those two things really, really helped me. It just gave me the structure for writing copy. And they, at the end of the day, they both kind of talked about the same ideas, which was researching people, using their words instead of trying to come up with your brilliant copy, and just kind of reflecting their words back to them. Because at the end of the day, that you know, something I said myself is going to convince me more than something you think I want. So yeah, something I said I want is more powerful to me. And that's basically the psychology behind it.
Yeah, I thought it was worth mentioning.
Yeah, very cool.
You see it lacking on a lot of sites. And at letsworkshop.com, I think it's done really well. I think it's worth people taking a look at.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen that in your work here. It's really focused on the text, and there is a lot of text, but it doesn't feel overwhelming, and it does kind of like pull you in with the headlines and just really compelling, you know, overall. So, yeah, really, really nice work there. And
appreciate that.
Yeah. So I guess we should kind of wrap it up here.
Excellent. Thanks for coming on, Robert. It was really interesting kind of case study to look at. I wish you luck with it, and you know, just keep growing, and I'd love to keep updated on how things go.
Yeah, definitely. I'll definitely be listening to more podcasts and Bootstrapped Web and everything, and keeping up with what you guys are working on, and Brian and the mastermind and everything.
Yep, of course.
Very cool. Talk to you on Wednesday.
Yeah, yep. And so, you know, folks can check out letsworkshop.com, emails.win.com. Where can people kind of reach out to you and connect with you?
If they have any questions, you can just email me, robert@letsworkshop.com. And then on Twitter, I'm @letsworkshop.
Easy enough. All right, Robert. Well, I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.
All right, take care, guys.
Cheers, gents.